Good morning. Sometimes talk ideas come to you in the weirdest ways. As I'm driving home from Indiana, really had spent a couple days with my family, not thinking much about anything, and I was thinking I better be coming up with a lesson idea. As I'm driving down Interstate 74, I hear a tink off my front windshield. I look up and there's a truck ahead of me. So I start looking at the windshield to find the crack or the chip. Well, I saw two that were already there. But then it got me to thinking, well, we'll talk about a rock a little bit this morning. Because we all have a rock in our lives. We all have a rock that stands for us, and that rock is God, and that rock is Christ Jesus. We are founded on a rock. I'd like to look at that a little bit this morning. God has been using rocks in the scriptures for a long time to denote power and to denote strength. If you look at the walls of the building here, there are rocks on the wall. Those rocks wouldn't hold much up. If we were to knock foundations out from under this building, sir, would find out how strong them pieces of paneling really are. They aren't that strong because those aren't actual rocks. We have a rock that will stand up to anything in God and Christ. Joshua chapter 4, 1 through 7. God's been using rocks as instruments for a long time, even in the Old Testament. Joshua 4, 1 through 7. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command you them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, one out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord, your God, in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye of these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial for unto the children of Israel forever. The verse I'm looking at is verse 6. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? God had them set up a memorial, a monument, so that whenever they passed by that site and their children asked, What does this mean? Then the father could explain, This is where God delivered the children of Israel. They walked over at this point through the water, and it would spur them to think how much love God had for them. I was thinking, how many songs and songbook we have based on rocks, okay? And God being our rock. Hide me, O thou rock of ages. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And the chorus says, Oh, then to the rock let me fly. There are many songs about rocks, but Christ being our rock and God being our rock, our firm foundation. I got to looking in the scriptures in Psalms, and there are several scriptures that David has in Psalms to speak of God being the rock. Don't turn to them all because I've got them written down, but Psalms chapter 18, 1 through 3. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and my high tower. Psalms 31, 1 through 4. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock. For a house of defense, to save me from those. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid for me. For thou art my strength. Psalm 61, 2 and 3. Lean on me. Can you read my own writing? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Psalm 62, 1 and 2. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Psalm 94:22. The Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. David undoubtedly knew where his strength came from, where his power, abilities came from, God being the rock of his salvation, God being the one that gives him the strength. He knew where it came from. He knew that with God he could accomplish great things, and he had accomplished great things. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting the 32nd verse. 1 Samuel 17, starting the 32nd verse. We're skipping most of the story here, but 3rd and 32nd verse. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against that Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth and a man, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." David had no doubt seen the power of God's ability to be able to deliver him out of the paw of a lion and a bear. I probably wouldn't have stood around long enough to be delivered out of the paw of a lion and a bear. I'd have been running. But David stood there and took them on. There's no indication David had ever taken on that kind of animal before. But with God's power, he had the ability to do that. So he had the rock, which is God, in his life. And he knew it at that point in time. And that gave him the ability to withstand, to stand up to the giant. And we know he slew him. But he didn't do it without the power of God. So David knew, undoubtedly knew of the strength, where his strength came from. But you know what? David also knew where the power of God could fall at the same time. Because God is a rock. And that rock can smash you if it has to. Was David not smashed after the Bathsheba incident? Yes, he was. The same power, the same rock that helped him deliver himself from the paw of the lion and the bear and to slew the Philistine took something very precious from him because he had stood up to God and spit in his face. 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting the first verse. 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, starting the first verse. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, "There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him, and with his children, it did eat of his own meat, and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and he was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come unto him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I appointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." The rock's about to fall on David because he made a mistake. The same rock that helped him deliver the children of Israel from the Philistine, the giant, is the same rock that's going to smash him here in a few minutes. Verses 13 and 14. And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord has also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." Howbeit, because of this, by this deed thou hast given great occasion to them, he is the Lord to blaspheme. The child that is born unto thee shall surely die. I'm still driving 80 mile an hour for some reason. I need to slow down a little bit here. A little trouble reading this morning. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that is born unto thee shall surely die. The same God that helped him deliver the Philistines, helped him kill the giant, the bear and the lion, has now told him, you've caused my enemies to blaspheme against me. Or you've caused blaspheme on my name. You will pay a price. That rock fell on David rather hard. Took away his son, as we'd find if we read on later down here. David paid a price. There's a song out here on the radio. You hear the old phrase, and I tried to look it up, but my computer's at work right now being worked on. Being stuck between a rock and a hard place. And what I found on it, being stuck between a rock and a hard place means you have two decisions to make. You have one of two decisions to make. Neither one are going to be a pleasant decision. You have to decide to go one way or the other, but one way or the other is going to be a bad decision. It talked about the story of the man that fell down and was trapped between two rocks with his arm. I think somebody's brought this up before. Was trapped for 127 hours or something with his arm between two rocks. And he had a choice to make. Stay there and die, or try to free himself. Neither one of which was a pleasant choice, because the only choice he had was to try to free himself, and as a result, we know that he took his own arm off, and he was able to survive. But what would be the worst choice? He was going to die if he stayed there long enough. I mean, he might have died by taking his own arm off too, but he had to make the choice. There's another song I heard on the radio. It talks about the rock being between the hard place and you. And I like to think of Christ being the rock between the hard place and me. Because Christ is always there to help me. He's always there to protect me. He's always there to shield me from the enemy, if I will let him be. The devil has many ways he tries to make me slip up. If I let Christ be my rock, he will protect me from those instances. He will protect me from the devil making me slip up. The scriptures are full of examples of those who stood with God against the, I call them the soldiers of iniquity, because they're trying to draw people, God's followers, away from him. They tried to turn God's soldiers from their convictions, and it didn't work. But it didn't work because they stood with the rock. They stood with God. Of course, we have all the examples you can think of. We have Daniel. Daniel's told to pray or not to pray or die. If you pray, you'll die. No doubt Daniel had seen people thrown in lions' dens before, I would assume. That's not something that was new. That wasn't the first time a person had been thrown in a lions' den that I'm aware of. Daniel had seen it done before, and he knew what the results of that would be. But yet he knew that God was the rock that would help deliver him. There's a song out here on the radio that talks about him lying down with the lions, and he just can't picture that happening, but, you know, it'd be such a pleasant thought. You know, God doesn't throw me in. You know, he was thrown in with the lions, and no doubt he heard those lions down there, knew what was down there, but yet when he got down there, nothing happened. And he was down there, nothing happened. So as a result, he just kind of maybe laid down and slept with the lions. Would you sleep if you were in a lion's den? I don't think so. I'd be trying to claw my way out of the lion's den. But he knew he had a rock that would deliver him. That rock was God. Job had a rock, and that rock was God. God had allowed Job to be the wealthiest man around. He had everything he needed. But Satan came to God and said, oh, let me take it all away from him. You know, let go of the guy for a little bit and see what he does. See if his rock starts to crumble. See if his rock isn't really just a little pebble at that point in time. But you know what? How much damage can a little pebble do? How much damage can a little pebble do? I had new wood floor put in my house last year, earlier this year, and I thought I did everything I could to protect that floor. And I put a bunch of blankets down, and I was going to move my refrigerator back to get it back against the wall so I could hook the ice maker up because I got to have ice for my pop. And I'm pushing it back, and to get it back, I had to turn it. Well, I was sure I had a clean floor when I did it. But when I got that thing pushed back there, I had a scuff. Made a big circle around the floor. I was so mad at myself. Shoe polish don't cover it up very well, but it did a little bit for it. No, I'm just joking. But I was so mad at myself because you weren't going to pull this floor back up. We had cabinets sitting on top of it by then, and we had it was in the middle of the floor. But one little pebble got underneath one of them wheels, underneath that blanket, and it gouged that floor. So next time you're at my house, just kind of look in the kitchen. You'll see a little circular gouge or scratch in my floor. It's not real noticeable if you're not looking for it, but it's noticeable enough to me, and it just drives me bats. But one little pebble can do that much damage. Imagine what a big rock can do if God's that big rock in our lives. But the Satan thought that if he took it, the devil thought if he took everything away from Job, he would curse God. He would turn against God because that big rock would suddenly become a little pebble in his life. Oh, great. Where are you at, God? Why did I lose everything? But it didn't happen. And I think that's a warning for us. We may think we have the biggest rock in our lives in God, but yet when trouble and trials start showing up, suddenly that big rock becomes a little pebble in our eyes. Well, he can't protect me from that. So I need to run and hide, or I need to give in to the temptation, because that little rock, that little pebble is just not going to help me out. But I think the Scripture tells us that even the littlest pebble will help us out. And I think the reason they were able to withstand was what we find in Ephesians chapter 6, starting the 10th verse. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What I'm looking at here is be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Think of the most powerful thing in the world known to man, and God far exceeds that most powerful thing in the world. The most powerful thing in the world. You see a freight train going down the road, the tracks. There'll be one or two engines on the front and one or two engines on the back. And it can push 150 cars if it wants, train cars if it wants to. God is far above that power. And God is only one man. He's not a man. God is only one person. God is only one spirit. God is one power. And He is more powerful than that. So we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need to not falter. But we being human will falter. We being human will fall down. Even the followers of Christ fell down. Peter says, guide me out onto the water and I'll walk to you. No doubt Peter could have walked on the water because Peter did walk on the water until he lost sight of the rock. His rock was Christ. Bring me to you. Let me walk to you. That rock suddenly became a little bitty pebble amongst the big waves that were billowing amongst him. So we need to be strong in the God, in the Lord, and in the power of His might. We need to put God between our temptations and between us. There's a song little kids used to sing. God's love is higher than something, so high you can't climb over it, so low you can't go under it, so wide you can't go around. Does anybody know that song? I used to sing that, I think, when I was growing up. God's love is so high you can't climb over it, so wide you can't go around it, so low you can't crawl under it. God's love is there for us because He is a rock that can't be moved. I'm getting a lot of dumb stares. I guess that must have been one nobody ever sang around here, but I sure sang a lot when I was growing up. Maybe I thought I was singing it. I don't know. No, I sang a lot when I was growing up, but I'll have to learn that one and sing it to you sometime. But God's love is there for us. God's power is there for us. We may think it's a little pebble sometimes, and the temptation is going to get through, but God is still that mighty rock that's going to deliver us if we just allow Him to. Psalms 46, 1 through 3. Psalms 46, 1 through 3. I don't think I've had that one yet. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We stayed in a hotel in Indianapolis, right next to the airport. Well, what used to be the old airport. And we could stand on our third floor room, look out the window, and see the underbelly of the airplane as it flew into the airport. It flew right past her. I told Steve we should have taken pictures. Nobody will believe us. If we'd have been on the sixth floor, we could have probably looked right in the cockpit and seen the pilots as they flew by. I felt very safe in that hotel. But yet at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, when you hear a 747, because that's when FedEx flies their planes in, you hear a 747 go right past your window, and it shakes the building, and it roars and it rumbles. You begin to wonder if you're really made the best decision to stay right next to the airport in an airplane. And then we had a big storm one night, wind blowing sideways so the planes couldn't fly in. Well, about 2 hours after the storm was over, we're trying to go to sleep. And there were like 8 or 9 or 10 planes flew in, one right behind the other, which didn't happen the night before. So it was pretty unnerving at times because some of them were rather loud. But yet I was in a hotel that was built of stone. It was all cement, all concrete, so it wasn't going anywhere. Well, that's the same way it is with God. God is our rock, and He will not let us down if we will just lean on Him. Matthew chapter 7, starting the 24th verse. Matthew chapter 7, starting the 24th verse. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Job's house was built upon a rock, was it not? A rock foundation. Satan tried to knock that rock foundation out from underneath him, and it didn't work. Job did not crumble. David's house was built upon a rock, the rock of God. He knew that God would deliver him. Satan tried to knock his rock out from underneath him through other people saying, "You shall not pray to God." Daniel did not stumble. But we have many examples of people that did stumble in the Scriptures because they let that rock start to fall away from them, even followers of Christ. So we need to watch ourselves that we build our house on a good foundation, because that foundation is needed to hold us up in times of trial. You go downstairs in this building, you're going to see rock holding this building up. You go any place, you're going to see rock holding this building up. And it's all there because that's what we use to hold ourselves up. And that's what I use to hold myself up spiritually in God's eyes, is Christ being that rock in my life. Christ being the person that helps me hold on in times of need. A small pebble, as I said earlier, can do a great amount of damage. But it wouldn't be good for supporting anything. That same pebble that made a scratch on my floor, I'm not going to use that pebble and set it in a corner and say, "Okay, I'm building my house on that pebble." because my house isn't going to be there very long. But yet sometimes big rocks can be a problem too. Big rocks can cause a lot of damage too. And that's where the devil gets us. He doesn't necessarily just throw the small rock pebbles at us. He throws the big rocks at us sometime. In Matthew chapter 4, starting in the first verse. Then was Jesus led of a spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Put Doug in there. Then was Doug led up of the devil to be into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I haven't fasted 40 days and 40 nights, obviously. My doctor will tell you that. He wants me to fast 40 days and 40 nights. So that's the next pebble I've got to deal with, the next big rock I got to deal with. I have a doctor who tells me I need to lose 30 pounds in 6 months. If you have Facebook, you know that. So next time we have a short Sunday here, I'm going to want you guys to smack my hand if I go back for thirds. Okay? Okay, seconds. So make sure I get my chocolate pie and my egg and my deviled eggs the first round through. Because Lisa's been on me all weekend, you know, about not eating too much. And so I've got to work on that. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into an holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the earth, of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God, and in him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. We can look at this scripture and say, but that was Christ he was tempting. No, it wasn't. That was man he was tempting. Yes, Christ was Christ, but yet Christ was a man at this point in time in his life. He was still a man. He came to this earth to be a man, to show that the man can overcome the devil and can live a perfect life. So yes, he thought he was tempting Christ, but yet he was tempting a man at the same time. And just the way he tempts me. But every time he tempted him with power and glory and honor and wealth and fame and all those good things, Christ went right back to the scriptures and said, "No, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. You cannot live but by the word of God." He always went back to God. And that's how we're going to overcome the temptations in our lives and the trials. We're going to come back to Christ and to God, and we're going to realize that they are the rock that will protect us. The devil's going to come at us, and he's going to smack into a rock. That rock's going to be Christ. That rock's going to be God in our lives. And hopefully, by the same token, if I go to run to the devil, I'm going to run right smack into a rock. And hopefully that rock's going to be Christ. And that rock is going to be God. And it's going to wake me up and say, "That ain't what you should be doing." Because that's what should be happening in my life. I should always have that rock in my life. Christ is a rock that never changes. He is always ready to stand between us and the trials we face. But he'll only be there if we allow him to be there. You ever driven through the mountains or down through the Ozarks in Missouri and you see the signs that say caution rock falls or rocky for land or mudslides, rock slides possible? And you look, they put fencing up and they put nets up, but you see big old boulders laying on the side of the road. You're thinking, "My goodness, I'm glad I wasn't driving through when that big old boulder fell through there." But you know, that big old boulder is nothing compared to the size of the boulder God is in our lives. Because God is the biggest boulder around, and he will protect us. John chapter 3, verse 16 through 21. Very familiar scripture to everybody. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son to be the rock in our lives, to be the protection in our lives. And just as David had that rock that helped him deliver from the paw of the lion and the jaw of the lion and the bear, and deliver them and kill the giant, the same God that came down on him when he committed a sin and took his Son away from him is the same God to send his Son to this earth to be the rock in our lives. How much more should we rely on that rock to deliver us in our time of need? But yet how much more fearful should we be that rock will fall on us sometime because we have spit in the face of God and said, your Son isn't that worthy of me. If somebody were to say that about my Son, I'd be upset. But I probably wouldn't do bad things to him. I'd be upset with him. We have a God that is that has the ability to end our lives spiritually if we spit in the face of his Son. Because he was sent to this world to not condemn it, but to save it. But yet we have to accept that save. Rocks can protect or destroy. Rocks can build, and we need to build on that rock. As we conclude this morning, we need to ask ourselves, do we have the rock, which is Jesus Christ, in our lives? Have we thrown away the past of our life, the old parts of our lives, and accepted Christ and been baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection? If we have, that's a good thing. But sometimes those little rocks start to creep in, and we start to make little pebbles out of the big rock, and we let temptation and things in our lives interfere with us. And if we have, for any reason, fallen away, we're always given the opportunity to make ourselves right with God as we stand and sing.